again. Last time for a while at least anyway. Joy, pleasure, delight to be in your midst here at this time and today to bring to you the good news, the glad tidings, the gospel of my Savior, the only hope for the nations, the only hope for my nation, only hope for your nation. Gospel, good news, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Our hope, your hope, lies in the gift of God and in your reception of the gift of God. God loves you, Boston. Christ is dead for your sins and risen again to justify you, to make you right with God. But the question, of course, remains, what are you going to do about it? Will you receive the gift of God? Will you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ? Will you receive the precious gift that God affords you, that God offers to you today, the atoning death of His Son Jesus Christ, that you might be saved, that you might get right with God today? Offer to you a copy of God's Word. You'd like to read about the Gospel, about my Savior, New Testament of the Bible, offered to you quite freely, without any cost or any obligation to you, offered to you freely. You're simply and only for the taking. Read, study, meditate upon the Son of God, the lovely, lovely Jesus, whom I commend to you today. He's a lovely Savior. He's a faithful Lord. Never let you down. Never disappoint you. Never forsake you. Here in God's Word, you can read about Him, get to know Him, get to love Him, and get to adore Him, and get to trust in Him, and get eternal life and salvation through Him. You'd like a copy of God's Word? You come and ask for one, gladly placed into your hands quite freely. Maybe, perhaps, somebody here today, you're downcast, depressed, your back's against the wall, you're in a corner, troubled, like somebody to pray for you. My colleagues and I would be very glad to do that for you. Or maybe perhaps you got some questions. I haven't got the answer to all your philosophical dilemmas, but I do believe I have the answer to the most important question, how that is a body gets right with God, gets eternal life, and gets to heaven. So the Word of God, as I say, is offered to you, and the Word of God now is declared amongst you by myself and my colleagues. And don't you know that gives you the warrant? Because the Gospel is declared, is proclaimed amongst you here today, that gives you the warrant, that gives you the justification to believe in Jesus, to believe the Gospel unto salvation. The very fact that God in His providence is causing the Gospel to be announced, to be declared amongst you today is your warrant to believe in Jesus. So you have no excuse. You had no excuse before I came here. But once we are done, once we've proclaimed Jesus Christ to you, once I've told you about the shed blood of my Savior, there's only one way that you can get to hell, and that's by trampling on the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. I hope, I sincerely hope and pray that you will not do that, but that you will listen, that you will hearken to God's word, and that you'll believe on the promise of God, His Son Jesus Christ, and that in the way of repentance, turning from forsaking your unbelief, coming from your sin, all that you know to be sin, and trusting only in Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you today, that you might go home tonight with eternal life in your soul. The word of God for you here today in the city of Boston. Listen up, Boston. Listen up. Hear the word of God. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. How excellent is thy loving kindness. The loving kindness of God has been demonstrated to the world in the giving of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Those verses so well known to you that you've heard many, many times before, but never having come to an experience of them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has demonstrated His loving kindness for a world of sin, a world soaked in sin, a world in love with sin, a world in rebellion against its Maker, a world contrary to God. That's what it means, don't you know, to be ungodly. The Bible also says Christ died for the ungodly. What does it mean to be ungodly? It means to be contrary to God. But here's the problem, Boston sinners. That's us all. As we are born into this world, we are contrary to God in our natures. We are conceived in sin. We are born in sin. We live in sin. And we die in sin, but for the loving kindness of God. That's the problem. We're sinners by nature. We're contrary to God in our natures. So we quite naturally, we do everything that's contrary to God. In rebellion against God. God says one thing, you do the other. But you do it quite naturally. You do it without thinking. You do it without any thought whatsoever for your Maker, for God. Again, contrary to His loving kindness. That's what it means to be ungodly. To be contrary to God in your nature. And that's why Jesus says that a man must be born again. You see, the problem is, not only are we conceived in sin, not only do we come into the world with a sinful nature, with in a state of death, spiritual death that is, alienated from God, ungodly, unrighteous, unholy, and contrary to God, contrary to His love, and contrary to His law, contrary to God in every which way. So we come into the world already in a state and a condition of spiritual death. And that's why Jesus says, you must be born again. But except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot understand, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. It's like a fairy tale to you. Until that is, of course, you're born again. Until that is, God puts His life into your soul, puts His love into your heart, and gives you light in His light. But that's the loving kindness of God in giving His Son, in giving His only begotten Son, His gift to the world, that men and women, through Him, that they might be reborn, that they might be given light, that they might be given the love of God, that they might receive the love of God in receiving the gift of God. The gift of God to a sin-cursed world, to a world that's contrary to God, to a world that's ungodly, unholy, unrighteous. Here's my gift, says God. For God so loved the world that He gave. Why? Because He's a giving God. He's a God who loves to give. And here today, He sends His servants amongst you in order to set before you His gift, the gift of His Son, the gift of love, of light, of life, of forgiveness, of salvation, of eternal life, of life from the dead. That's what's on offer. That's what God sets before you here today. But the question is, will you receive? Will you receive the gift? You don't work for a gift. You don't pay for a gift. If you have to, then it's no longer a gift. So you don't have to be religious for it. You don't have to wear religious clothes for it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything for it. It's unconditional, unmerited, undeserved, redeeming love, the loving kindness of God, offered to you today. Yours for the taking, yours for the receiving. The Bible says He came to His own people, that is, but they did not receive Him. They rejected the gift of God. They rejected the loving kindness of God. And so many of them perished. They died in their sins, lost, not just for time, but for all eternity, because they rejected the loving kindness of God. But the loving kindness of God is made known to you, is set before you, is offered to you here today, this afternoon in the city of Boston. What will you do with it? You've heard before, you hear again. How many more times will you hear the overtures of God's love in a world that's due His wrath, in a world that's due nothing but His displeasure and anger? And I tell you, everywhere you look, everywhere you turn in God's world, what do you see? Nothing but the evidence of God's wrath and displeasure. So where do you go? Where does a person go in order to behold, to see the wrath, the love of God, the loving kindness of God? You go to the cross. You go to the place where Jesus shed His atoning blood. His blood that atones. His blood that makes us one with God. Reconciles us to God. That's where you go. That's the only place in all of God. God's creation, where you can see, where you can behold the love of God. Herein is the love of God, that He gave His only begotten Son and gave Him up to the death of the cross. That's what John 3:16 means when it says God so loved the world that He gave His Son up to the death of the cross, that through Him that you might be saved, that through Him that you might come to know, to experience the loving kindness of God. You can hear about it, I can tell you about it, I can read about it from the Bible to you, you can read about it, you can go to a church and hear about it, but that's not enough. That's not enough. That doesn't go far enough. It has to become your experience. You have to be born again of the Spirit of God. You have to receive light in the light of God. God must illuminate your soul, your sin-darkened mind, until you see in the face of Jesus Christ, the very face of God and His loving kindness. That the loving kindness of God might become your experience. I tell you, one drop. God's love is like a mighty ocean, I tell you. A fathomless, an immense ocean. And I tell you, just one drop, one single drop out of that ocean of God's love into your soul, I tell you, would change you, would transform you for the better forever and ever and ever, because His loving kindness would become yours for time and for eternity. Everlasting love. Everlasting love. That's the gospel. That's the gospel, and that's its drawing factor, the love of God in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world. The everlasting love of God. Yours for time and for eternity through faith, believing. Whoever believes in Him, in Jesus, the manifestation of the loving kindness of God in coming and living and loving and dying and rising again from the dead to conquer sin and death and hell on behalf of the sinner who puts their trust, who puts their confidence. That's what faith means, having confidence. Con-fide, con is with, fide is faith. With faith, with confidence, you put your full-blown confidence in Jesus, in the Son of God, in Him and Him alone. And you get the loving kindness of God. You get the great mercy of God. You get the forgiveness of God. You get the love of God. And you get eternal life. You get everlasting love. You get all the blessings of God in Jesus Christ. Oh, there are many people, I dare say, in Boston today who would like eternal life, who would like love, who would like to have peace, who would like to have joy, who would like to have all the blessings of the gospel, but you can't have them. You can't have them, not without Jesus. You only get them through His Son. You see, God so loved the world that He gave His Son so that you could have those blessings, but have them through His Son. You can't have the peace, you can't have the life, you can't have the love, you can't have the blessings, you can't have the benefits without the Son, without Jesus. You take Jesus and you get all the blessings of God, all the blessings that God has for a man or woman, but you reject Jesus. You say, I want the benefits, but I don't want want Jesus? Well, you can't have them. God won't do it that way. He loves you, but He won't do that. He loves you, but He will not do that. You say, I want to do it my way. I want to do it the Catholic way. I want to do it the Buddhist way. I want to do it the Islamic way. God says, no, no, I love you, but I won't do that. Only one way, through my Son, Jesus Christ, I offer Him to you. You take Him and you get my loving kindness, you get my forgiveness, you get the joy, you get the peace, you get the everlasting love and life. But only, only, only in Jesus. You reject Him and you get nothing at all. In fact, you get worse than that. You get eternal. You get everlasting damnation, unquenchable fires instead of unquenchable love. How excellent is thy loving kindness? Do you know that? Have you tasted? Have you tasted of the loving kindness of the Lord? Is that your possession? It can be yours today by faith. If you believe in the Son of God, that loving kindness can become your experience. That heart-melting love, that life-changing love, that destiny-changing love. It changes everything. The love of God. It changes everything about a person. It does not leave them the same. They do not remain ungodly, unholy, unrighteous. They become the opposite. They become the contrary to what they are by nature. They become righteous, godly, and holy. The love of God changes. It's not just a funny feeling. It's not just a nice feeling. It changes. It's a game changer. It's a life changer. It's a soul changer. It's a destiny changer. It changes absolutely everything. Boston sinners, receive the love of God today in Jesus Christ. Receive it. I demand it of you. I command it of you. Receive the love of God. What hinders you? What keeps you? Nothing but an evil heart of unbelief. Nothing but a nature that's contrary to God. That needs to be changed. And only in the love of God can it be changed. Go to Jesus. Cry out to Him. Demand of Him that He change you. That He make you not contrary to God, but contrary to your very own nature in which you were conceived and born. Reborn. Made a new creature in Jesus Christ, because that's all that matters. God doesn't care a hoot about your religion and your religious practices. He doesn't care a hoot about your imaginary good works. Only one thing that God will be looking for in that day when you stand before Him in judgment. Are you a new creature? Were you born again of the Spirit of God? Were you born again into the loving kindness of God? You must be Boston sinners. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink the river of thy pleasures. Pleasures at the right hand of God. Religion was not made to make us unhappy. Religion was never meant to make us miserable. Pleasures at the right hand of God. Satisfaction, I tell you, in knowing God and knowing Son Jesus Christ, satisfaction, happiness, such as you never ever dreamed possible. But look at your world religion. Look at your Roman Catholicism. Look at your subscribers to Islam. Look at all your religious people in the world. And is that what you see in them? Is that what you find amongst them? Pleasure? Satisfaction? No. You find the same misery that you find in atheism, in godlessness. That, I tell you, that's what makes for misery. That's what makes for dissatisfaction. Godless living. Living without God. Jesus, in the Bible, he's called the bread of life. He satisfies the soul. He brings to us, Jesus brings to you the pleasures of God. You live in a society that's very wealthy and very healthy in comparison to other parts of the world. But does it bring pleasure to you? Does it bring satisfaction to you? I submit to you that only the bread of life, only the true bread that came down from heaven can satisfy a man or woman's soul. Doesn't matter what you get. You get a bigger house, you get more money, you get more stuff. Doesn't matter what you get, you're never satisfied. Always looking for something more. As soon as you get what you long for, something you've coveted for many years, and eventually you get the thing, and immediately, as soon as you've got it, you're wanting something else. Never satisfied, never content, not without the bread of life. Not without the bread that came down from heaven. Not without Jesus. Not without the Son of God. But I tell you, in him are all the treasures and wisdom of God. In him are all the pleasures that God has for a man or woman. Joy inexpressible. Joy, I tell you, joy that no man can take away from you. Joy, they can persecute you, they can kill you, but they still can't take the joy away from you that Jesus would give you. Satisfaction guaranteed. What's that song that the rock star sings? Ain't got no satisfaction. That's because you're not being to Jesus. That's because you're not trusting in Jesus. Satisfaction's only to be found in him. Pleasure's at the right hand of God. Who's at the right hand of God? Jesus, the Son of God. He died on a cross. He rose again from the dead to take away that which causes the dissatisfaction and causes the misery and unhappiness. He died to take away the sin. He died on the cross to take away your sin, your guilt, your shame, your blame, the curse of God from off you, the wrath of God from off you, and bring to you the pleasures of God. And satisfaction guaranteed in Jesus, in the Son of God, but only in Jesus. Again, you want the satisfaction, you want the contentedness, but you can't have it without Jesus. No way. You say, I get satisfaction if I get more money, if I get more stuff, if I get a bigger house. No, you won't. Only God himself can give you that satisfaction. And he offers it to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. I offer my son to you. I offer my loving kindness to you. I offer my pleasures to you. I offer satisfaction to you. I offer these things to you. But through my son Jesus alone, alone, you take Jesus and you get them all. You reject Jesus and you reject them all. You get nothing, nothing, nothing out of the hand of God in the name of Allah, in the name of Muhammad, in the name of the Pope, in the name of the Watchtower Society. You get nothing out of the hand of God but through His Son Jesus. You take Him and you get it all. You get it all. More. More, I tell you, than you could ever, ever possibly wish for. For with thee, the psalmist, he says, is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. The fountain of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. He's the fountain of life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, even though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus has the authority to give life. But you see, only God can give life. Of course, of course, Jesus is God. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? Authority is given to Jesus to give life. To who? Religious people? No. Who then? To people who believe. People who believe. No, man. Not at all. I will not be quiet. As long as I've got a breath in my body, I will not be quiet. I command the breath of God to move in this city this afternoon as we preach the resurrected Jesus Christ, alive, alive from the dead, conquered sin and death and hell, and with the authority and power over heaven and earth, and the authority and power to put life, life everlasting, eternal, into your soul, Boston sinners, today. In the way of faith, believing, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the life giver. I am the fountain of life. In me there is life eternal, everlasting. He who believes in me, even though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? Do you believe him? Will you believe him? Will you trust in him? Will you put your confidence in him? And know and experience and enjoy the loving kindness of God. The pleasures, the satisfaction that only the bread of life can give you. And the life, life welling up within your soul. I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Life. Said you today, Boston. You're somebody with abundant life in your soul today. If not, then why not? If not, why not? Why do you go about in poverty? Why do you go about in misery? Why do you go about in that state contrary to God, unholy, ungodly, unrighteous? Why do you go about the city like dead men walking, with no life, no life in your soul? When there's life to be had, when there's life to be found in Jesus. Come. get the pleasure, you get the treasure, you get the loving kindness of God, the forgiveness of God, the cleansing, the washing, the purifying. You get the life, life eternal, life everlasting. You get the whole nine yards, you get it all. All the blessings of God, yours. That is, if you'll take Jesus. That is, if you'll believe. That is, if you'll confide. That is, if you'll trust in the Son of God today. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe perhaps this is the last time somebody here under the sound of my voice this afternoon, and this is the last time that you're here. The Bible, God says that He will not always strive with men. Maybe, perhaps, maybe He'll strive with you no more. Maybe, perhaps, somebody here in Boston this afternoon, and this is for you, don't be shy. Go to Jesus. Go to Him with boldness. He promises. He assures. He says He will not turn you away. Nobody complains in hell that they came to Jesus, but He turned them away. He never yet turned a sinner away, and He will not turn you away. But you will hear complaints in hell. You'll hear people howling and crying and weeping, saying, "I left it too late. I left it too late. God's servant came to me in the city of Boston, and I heard Him. I heard it again and again, and I put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off, and I left it too late." Oh, even too late. Now is the only time you've got, Boston. You've been got tonight. You've been got tomorrow. You've been got Sunday. Now, says God, is the time to close with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Do what God tells you to do. Obey His Son. What does His Son say to you? Repent and believe the gospel. That's what. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent, 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 and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God's at hand, sir, that's why. And that's the only way into it. In the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God. My voice is going. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word offered to you freely, no cost, no obligation. Read all about it. Boston, the good news, salvation, loving kindness. Come and ask for one. Want somebody pray for you? Come to us. Love to pray for you. May God bless you, Boston, till I see you again. May God bless you and have mercy, mercy, mercy upon your precious, precious, never dying souls.